Flatland by Edwin A. Abbott. Section 15. Concerning a Stranger from Spaceland. From dreams I proceed to facts. It was the last day of our 1999th year of our era. The patterning of the rain had long ago announced nightfall, and I was sitting, footnote 3, in the company of my wife, musing on the events of the past and the prospects of the coming year, the coming century, the coming millennium. My 4 sons and 2 orphan grandchildren had retired to their several apartments, and my wife alone remained with me to see the old millennium out and the new one in. I was wrapped in thought, pondering in my mind some words that had casually issued from the mouth of my youngest grandson, a most promising young hexagon of unusual brilliancy and perfect angularity. His uncles and I had been giving him his usual practical lesson in sight recognition, turning ourselves upon our centers now rapidly, now more slowly, and questioning him as to our positions, and his answers had been so satisfactory that I had been induced to reward him by giving him a few hints on arithmetic as applied to geometry. Taking 9 squares, each an inch every way, I had put them together so as to make 1 large square, with a side of 3 inches, and I had hence proved to my little grandson that though it was impossible for us to see the inside of the square, yet we might ascertain the number of square inches in a square by simply squaring the number of inches in the side. And thus, said I, we know that 3 to the second, or 9, represents the number of square inches in a square whose side is 3 inches long. The little hexagon meditated on this a while and then said to me, "But you have been teaching me to raise numbers to the 3rd power. I suppose 3 to the 3rd must mean something in geometry. What does it mean?" "Nothing at all," replied I, "not at least in geometry, for geometry has only 2 dimensions." And then I began to shew the boy how a point, by moving through a length of 3 inches, makes a line of 3 inches, which may be represented by 3, and how a line of 3 inches moving parallel to itself through a length of 3 inches makes a square of 3 inches every way, which may be represented by 3 to the second. Upon this, my grandson, again returning to his former suggestion, took me up rather suddenly and exclaimed, "Well, then, if a point by moving 3 inches makes a line of 3 inches represented by 3, and if a straight line of 3 inches moving parallel to itself makes a square of 3 inches every way represented by 3 to the second, it must be that a square of 3 inches every way moving somehow parallel to itself, but I don't see how, must make something else, but I don't see what, of 3 inches every way, and this must be represented by 3 to the 3rd. "Go to bed," said I, a little ruffled by his interruption. "If you would talk less nonsense, you would remember more sense." So my grandson had disappeared in disgrace, and there I sat by my wife's side, endeavoring to form a retrospect of the year 1999 and of the possibilities of the year 2000. But not quite able to shake off the thoughts suggested by the prattle of my bright little hexagon, only a few sands now remained in the half-hour-glass. Rousing myself from my reverie, I turned the glass northward for the last time in the old millennium, and in the act I exclaimed aloud, "The boy is a fool." Straightway I became conscious of a presence in the room, and a chilling breath thrilled through my very being. "He is no such thing," cried my wife, "and you are breaking the commandments in thus dishonoring your own grandson." But I took no notice of her. Looking around in every direction, I could see nothing. Yet still I felt a presence, and shivered as the cold whisper came again. I started up. "What's the matter?" said my wife. "There is no draught. What are you looking for?" "There is nothing." There was nothing, and I resumed my seat again, exclaiming, "The boy is a fool, I say. 3 to the 3rd can have no meaning in geometry." At once there came a distinctly audible reply, "The boy is not a fool, and 3 to the 3rd has an obvious geometrical meaning." My wife, as well as myself, heard the words, although she did not understand their meaning, and both of us sprang forward in the direction of the sound. What was our horror when we saw before us a figure? At the first glance, it appeared to be a woman seen sideways, but a moment's observation showed me that the extremities passed into dimness too rapidly to represent one of the female sex, and I should have thought it a circle, only that it seemed to change its size in a manner impossible for a circle or for any regular figure of which I had had experience. But my wife had not my experience, nor the coolness necessary to note these characteristics. With the usual hastiness and unreasoning jealousy of her sex, she flew at once to the conclusion that a woman had entered the house through some small aperture. "How comes this person here?" she exclaimed. "You promised me, my dear, that there should be no ventilators in our new house." "Nor are they any," said I. "But what makes you think that the stranger is a woman?" "I see by my power of sight recognition." "Oh, I have no patience with your sight recognition," replied she. "Feeling is believing, and a straight line to the touch is worth a circle to the sight." Two proverbs, very common with the frailer sex in Flatland. "Well," said I, for I was afraid of irritating her, "if it must be so, demand an introduction." Assuming her most gracious manner, my wife advanced towards the stranger. "Permit me, madam, to feel and be felt by." Then suddenly recoiling, "Oh, it is not a woman, and there are no angles either, not a trace of one. Can it be that I have so misbehaved to a perfect circle?" "I am indeed, in a certain sense, a circle," replied the voice, "and a more perfect circle than any in Flatland. But to speak more accurately, I am many circles in one." Then he added more mildly, "I have a message, dear madam, to your husband, which I must not deliver in your presence, and if you would suffer us to retire for a few minutes." But my wife would not listen to the proposal that our august visitor should so incommode himself, and assuring the circle that the hour of her own retirement had long passed, with many reiterated apologies for her recent indiscretion, she at last retreated to her apartment. I glanced at the half-hour glass. The last sands had fallen. The third millennium had begun. Footnote 3. When I say sitting, of course, I do not mean any change of attitude such as you in Spaceland signify by that word, for as we have no feet, we can no more sit nor stand, in your sense of the word, than one of your souls or flounders. Nevertheless, we perfectly well recognize the different mental states of volition implied by lying, sitting, and standing, which are to some extent indicated to a beholder by a slight increase of luster corresponding to the increase of volition. But on this and a thousand other kindred subjects, time forbids me to dwell. End of chapter. Read by Lorraine Montgomery for Lit to Go on the web at fcit.usf.edu.